Dette er en podcast fra Saltbergenkirken. Ønsker du vite mer om oss, stikk innom saltbergen.no.
Well, welcome to Houston, Texas. Good to see you all in church today. Let's just stand to our feet and pray. No. It's quite a trip outside of the comfort zone to do a service in English. So I just really want to applaud, especially Ruben and everyone else here. That, you know, it's outside of the comfort zone, but that's where the adventure happens, isn't it? And I'm so proud of the work that the Salt International team have done this far this fall. And I think it's a fantastic thing that we're doing it in the student center. I think it's a brilliant location to have a church in Bergen, to have a church in the student center. We will just continue on doing that. And thank you all for your giving to this great work that we're doing in India. And I really hope and pray that it's all going to be beneficial for the kingdom. So cool, sending 9 people out, isn't it? These are people that pay their own way. These are people that take off from work, people that take off from studies, and they put this thing in. This is what they chip in to do this. And I would make it a goal for this church that sometime in your lifetime, you know, we should learn this from the Muslims, that, you know, sometime in your life, do a really long trip somewhere. Don't go to, you know what I'm saying? But let's just make sure that we go to the ends of the earth once in our life, because it does something with our lives. When you see a really poor kids, you know, lying on the street, no one caring about them. And when you see sick people, when you get to pray for people, when you get to counsel people, it does something with who you are. So I really would like to make that a goal. A pastor hero of mine, he said that. And this is the goal for our church. We will send everyone for our mission trip to Russia. And when they came down to the really old people in their church, you know, the elderly people, they didn't know Russian or English. They didn't know anything. So there was a big, in Moscow, this was way back when I was younger. There was a big thing of Lenin. You guys remember Lenin? He was Lenin in Moscow, and they would have like big plaques, and they would walk around it. Jesus is alive, Lenin is dead. And they would just walk around. That was their missions trip, you know? But they at least went to Russia for Jesus. All right. So it's Gokul Sunday, and I'm going to share a message. My notes are in Norwegian, but my heart is really in English. And I've written one of the sentences, like my top thing here is written in Norwegian, in English, and it's, I'm going to talk about empowered for involvement. Yeah. Because there is something that has happened to us as a people in Norway. If you follow the Norwegian news, the last couple of days, there's been a lot of talk about involvement and the lack of involvement that is happening in our society. You know, if you are a parent, and you sit in school and you meet the other parents and you meet the teachers. Normally what happens is that the people, the parents, they will sit on their hands while the teacher is asking who wants to be the parent representative in the class thing. No one wants to do it. It's the funniest thing. We can be 50, 60, 70 parents sitting in a room like this and everyone will look down because no one wants to volunteer. It's the strangest thing, because when you involve yourself in something, it means responsibility and it means risk. You know, if you walk on the streets of Bergen and you see a beggar sitting with a cup, it's very easy to take 10 kroners out of your pocket and put it in their cup and walk past, because there is no risk of involvement. But if you would sit down, look into the eyes, hear the story, connect with the person that you're listening to, that involves a huge risk. Most people in our country will not involve themselves because of the risk that is represented in involvement. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because if we don't involve ourselves, the world won't change in the way God wants us to change. Last week, there was a big demonstration in Oslo. There was a walk against bullying in schools. This is our prime minister. She's from Bergen. 4,000 kids attended. There was a young boy called Udin that took his own life a couple of weeks ago. And a young girl said, "We have to stand up against the bullying in the classes. We need to involve ourselves." And honor to her for doing that. So in Oslo and in many other cities, people, you know, they lit the fire and they walked around, and it was a wonderful thing to do. What else happened last week? There was in an elevator, they did this. this thing where they would assault a woman in an elevator to see how many would respond. And the thing was that just one person out of this case study that they did would respond and actually do something. Isn't that stupid? I mean, people would watch this thing happen, but they would say, I will not risk involvement. I will not risk. It's better for me to keep the distance. See, this is a problem that's happening in our part of the world. So how are we going to stop domestic violence? How are we going to get rid of poverty? How are we going to stop the conflict at work? How are we going to make sure that people get along and don't abuse each other? How are we going to stand up against sex assaults? How are we going to stand up against things if everyone says, I will not risk involvement? There's a philosopher at the University of Oslo. He has written, he wrote a book a few years ago called The Change of Freedom. And pastor for the international service, he has translated this. He's a little better than Google Translate, so we'll see if it works out. Can we put it up here? Okay. When the individual is declared responsible for themselves in a total way, that results in a shrinking of each one's responsibility. Responsibility for others becomes something secondary, a sort of moral overflow phenomenon for those who are capable. If one does not count those within the closest family. In the general, others are regarded as responsible for themselves in the same way I am responsible for myself. For my self-realization, this leads to a silencing of the role of being one's neighbor's neighbor. See, this is the voice of a philosopher that talks about the very culture that we're a part of. In a culture that says that I do not afford stopping when someone has a need. I do not take the risk of involving myself when a neighbor kid has trouble. I will not take the risk of confronting someone at work when they are making trouble. I will not take the risk of stopping someone, assaulting a woman in an elevator. That's a big, big problem. And we need to ask ourselves, as Christian people, for those of us who are Christians here, is that an okay response in a world where God said, for so much have I loved the world that I gave my son, the only begotten one, so that he could lead people to me. Is it okay for us when we have a God that involved himself to say we will not involve ourselves? But the good news that I'm here to share with you today is that God wants us to get involved, but he also gives us some promises on how we can get involved with people. This guy that was really good at understanding the law, he went up to Jesus and he said, what should I do to inherit an eternal life? And Jesus said to him, well, what does the book say? And he said, well, the book says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said, well, that's the right answer. That's great. You won the quiz. And then the guy thought, you know, I'll be a little difficult with Jesus, so I'll just ask another question. And he asked him the question, so who's my neighbor? Who's the friend that I should take care of, all right? So Jesus tells this story. There was a guy that was a pastor. He lived in Jerusalem, but his second home was down in Jericho. So when he was on his way down to Jericho, he came over with this guy that was beaten half to death and he was lying on the ditch. And when he saw the man lying in the ditch, he passed him. And then he said, and then this other guy came with an electric guitar, really skinny jeans and worship songs from Australia. And he looked at the guy that was lying in the ditch and he thought with himself, well, if I stop now, maybe the guy that beat him up are hiding in the bushes and they will beat me up, so I'll just pass. And then this other guy came, this guy that was an immigrant, this guy that sold kebabs, this guy that, you know, people thought, you know, he smells strange, he's different than us, you know what I'm saying. So he passes him, but then he thinks, well, I should take care of this guy. So he brings him with him, he goes to the next hotel, and he says, I'll pay for 24 nights in this hotel, and if I come back this way, and the guy is still in your hotel because that was how beat up he was, then I will continue on paying you the money. Just take care of the guy. And then Jesus asked this question. Which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the one who was attacked by the bandits? And Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, go and do the same. See, what Jesus asks us to do is to get involved. Yeah. Jesus asks us to live contrary to the response that would bring security to ourselves. He asks us to live a life that's contrary to saying, I will not risk involvement. I'll step aside. I will not do it. I will not volunteer. I will not stand up for the woman that's being beaten up. I will not stand up against the bullies. I will not get involved in the conflict at work. He says, I want you to step in to all those things. And what rises then in our hearts is this. How can I handle the risk? What about my qualities? What about my strength? What about my resources? Do I have what it takes to get involved? And that's so fantastic with Jesus, is that he never, ever promotes us for inadequacy. He never promotes us to be a failure. He promotes us into involvement by telling us that he will empower us for that involvement. And that's what I want to share with you today, that you can, in any possible way, in the circumstances that you're in your life, you can take a step into involving yourself on the basis of the fact that he is empowering you to do that. Before he went, he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, in this text, he does not say it's optional to testify. He's not saying it's optional whether we want to or not. No, it's an imperative. He says to us that I want you to get involved in the world. But I will also make sure that you are empowered for that involvement. So that you, when you feel, I'm at risk, what can I do? I can't sing, I can't do the music, I can't take a picture, I can't sing, I can't talk, I can't do anything. Then God wants you to get involved with the empowerment that he's putting upon you. And that's what I want to talk to you about in the next couple of minutes. Because we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. That there is a frequency, there is a power, and there is a strength in God that's available for all people. Some of us walk through our Christian life all our life, and we think that it's all up to us. But what we do in the world, people, is really not about our strength. It's about his Spirit in us. And we will pray for you when we're done with this thing, because I believe that what God is doing in Bergen, in this part of our country, in Norway, in the Nordic region, and what he's doing at the ends of the earth, involves people. Yeah. See, God is involved in the world, but he is involved in the world through people. Yeah. And he is not saying to us, don't get involved. He says, get involved, but I will empower you for involvement. So he says that I will give you power. I've been a youth pastor, and I'm a pretty young pastor. I like hanging around with the young people, because then I can say our generation, and then whoops, I become younger. I meet many people that says the way I live with Jesus today is different than what it used to be. Some people say to me, well, when I was in high school, I used to bake these Bible muffins, and we would put Bible verses into them, like get saved or go to hell and stuff like that. And people would eat their little muffin, and they would eat the get saved thing, and they will just read the go to hell thing, and it would obviously start a conversation, and it used to be a lot easier when we had the Bible muffins. But now I'm in the university, and because I'm in the university and I don't have any muffins, it's hard to have a conversation about faith. I meet people that say to me, I just recently got saved, but my family is so difficult. The people that I relate to in my everyday life, they have so many tough questions, so I've found out that it's better for me to be quiet. I meet people that says, I trusted in God, but then this happened, so I'm turned out to be more quiet about my faith. And see, it's a problem. When we become so quiet in the way we engage our faith, that people no longer hear about what's going on with our faith. A newspaper called me the other day, and they said, we have been called by this guy that has a broken marriage behind him. He used to be really active in a local church in Bergen, and now he's no longer in there. He occasionally goes to a concert or to a pub or something like that, but he says he never hears anyone inviting him to church. in the church that he used to attend, there is no room for him. And he just wants to tell all of us, all Christian people, that you guys are really, really quiet. So the journalist calls me and asks me to comment. The person is obviously not from our church. Then they wouldn't have called me. So they asked me to give an objective response to what's happening. And I said, I'm so thankful for this man for telling us. Because it is not okay that the church of God in the world is quiet. Because he's asking us to get involved. And he's empowering us to get involved. And that's what he wants us to do. When I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit when I was a teenager, I grew up in a Christian home. I'm really grateful for what my parents did to me, for taking me to Sunday school and being involved in church. And we were not a really intense family. I'm much more intense now than I used to be. But my kids are, you know, that they get that intensity, you know. So my second one, he has done the math. He says, we have 1/4 less spare time in our lives just because we're Christians. And because there is an involvement in it. But what happened to me when the Holy Spirit filled me was that it did something to how I view the world. I suddenly saw people differently. I suddenly also talked very differently to the friends that I have, to my friends in school. I used to stand up for Jesus and try to answer all the difficult questions in school. But when the Holy Spirit came upon me, something charged my words differently. I felt that there was more of a breakthrough when I talked about things. I could get these wild ideas. And I thought, wow, you're really smart, you know? But I wasn't that smart. It was the Holy Spirit that gave me some smartness in the way I was testifying. Because God didn't promote me to be a failure. And God doesn't challenge you to risk involvement to be a failure. He asks you to get involved, and then you will be empowered for that involvement. Yeah. And that's what I'm longing for. I'm longing for us to be a church in the city that says, you know what, this is not about my power. It's not about my academic smartness. It is not about my arguments. But it is about living in the stream of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because when you receive that power, something happens. Yeah. Something just totally different. And it's not about... it's not about emotions. It's not about rolling on the floor. It's not about losing your mind or hallucinating. It's not about that stuff. It's about bringing the gospel for people. Acts 2 says, when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. This is the first Pentecost. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered. I'm reading the same thing again. Let's go to the next verse. They were completely amazed. Now can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. Here we are. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around the Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. 17 languages, people. 17 languages. That sounds like medical diseases. 17 languages. are being understood by the same teachers. It's not about the tongues, really. It's about the communication. Yeah. The gospel became clear for the people that listened. But the thing was that they got involved, and because they got involved with empowerment, the people understood what happened. Yeah. And see, that's what I believe we need the power for. I'll tell you one thing. If we don't get involved, schools will not be built. Kids will not be saved from human trafficking. Girls will not be put into school instead of going to get buckets of water. When we did this thing with water earlier this year, 200 million hours is spent by this world's women just going to get water. That's a big problem. because those girls should be in school, they should get their health cleared, they should have a future for themselves. Instead, they go and get water. If you just drill a hole and get them the water in the place, you give them hours. But if we don't get involved, clean water is not coming. If we don't get involved, people's health is not being taken care of. If we don't give people medicine, they will not get the life that they should get. Involvement is risk, yes, but we are empowered for that involvement. And I just want you to believe this, and I want you to see this, but where is the context of this involvement? May I share with you? The first place we are going to get involved is in our Jerusalem. And I want you now to see these four places. I'm making a point out of these four places now. The first place is the Jerusalem. Okay, it's way down into the corner there is Jerusalem. All right, so you guys see that? When God created the world, he said, I'm going to make three beautiful cities. I will make Jerusalem, I will make Rome, and I will make Bergen. All of these beautiful cities will have seven mountains all around them. You know, all of these cities have seven mountains around them, but only one of them I will wash every day. So the city of Bergen has such a place in the story of God in our world. Are you guys taking notes? If we're going to think missiologically, if you're going to think about our involvement, Jerusalem, that's the place where you know the people. Now, your Jerusalem will be the people that are like you, that's your family, your close friends, your relatives, it's your close family, all right? Geographically, it's the place where we live in Bergen. Secondly, there is a Judea. A Judea are the people that you don't personally know them, but they're your people. They're your types of people. So you easily, culturally, can be understood by them and you can reach out to them. And geographically, it's the Norway area, you know? Norway is kind of our Judea. We can reach out to them. It's an easy thing. And then it's the Samaria. And I think this is very serious, people. For Samaritans and Jews, they were in battle with each other. And we are not more holy than the fact that we have some people we like and some people we don't like. But what the gospel does is that the gospel takes away the divide between the Jew and the Greek, between the man and the woman, between the slave and the free, between different ethnicities. You know, it's an awesome effect of the gospel that it levels people so that the rich and the poor can be together in one church. It's a sign of kingdom when we are different from each other in a living church. And I will challenge you like I've challenged in the earlier services today. Over the next month, now we're moving into the Christmas season, I'm asking you, if you will just ask God, if there is something good you can do for someone that you naturally don't like. If there is a person that lives in your neighborhood or in your hallway or someone that you naturally you don't get along with them or you don't talk to them that well, just make sure that you do something well for them. I mean, if there is a guy that lives close to you and he comes here and stays here for 3 months and he's from Poland and he's a worker and he does some stuff and he doesn't have his family, just make sure that he has a happy Christmas. Give him something. Just dig down in your pockets and do something for him. Make sure that you take a step out of the comfort zone and into the involvement zone and believe that God empowers you to do that. Because the gospel is about involving ourselves with people that we are different for. That leads us to the next thing, and that's at the ends of the earth. We believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ should be spoken about in our church, yes, but we should always be involved at the ends of the earth. 10 years of this church, every single month since the beginning, we have been involved in foreign missions. The reason for that is that if we are not constantly telling us, get your eyes up from your bubble, don't think about yourself only. There is a wider world out there. If we don't do that work, then we will fold in and be self-centered Christians. Self-centered Christians is not a very good thing. They become really strange after a while. Very difficult to lead self-centered Christians. Very, very strange. They get really big hair after a while, you know? They dress like the Noah's Ark after a while also, you know? They get really strange, you know? I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stop right now. I'm just saying it. If it wasn't for missions, we would all look like idiots. So enough about that. So we'll do that one more time. Let's start with the Jerusalem thing again. This is what I ask of you. I ask of you if you're going to be a part of the Salt family. I ask you to think seriously through who do you have in your life that you can get involved with in such a way that you pray for them intentionally and systematically, and that you make it your project that I want to be a witness for Jesus towards these friends and this family. When we do the bridge thing here at the end of the service, and we've done that now for several years, it's not, you know, a pause section. It's a very serious section where we talk about how we live our life as light and salt in our everyday lives. Bergen will not be changed if the people of Bergen don't stand up to the task of getting involved with people. And what changes when we pray for friends and neighbors is our own hearts. You know, maybe our neighbor changes, but first of all, we change. I change when I pray for people, because the next conversation we have is different. The expectancy of what is God doing in his life is changing. And that's my responsibility. Seriously, people, let's take a step up. You are empowered to get involved in your Jerusalem. Secondly, we're empowered to get involved in our Judea. You know, we're a young church, and people say many strange things about our church. You know, it's only young people, only loud people. They are so big. They do the big services and the loud music, and people kind of find And I agree with many of those things, because if we're all about ourselves, we misunderstood our mission. Hello. If we're all about ourselves, we misunderstood our mission. Yeah. The vision of this church is to become a large church, but we will not be a large church in one auditorium where you guys consume a religious event that we're doing here. We want to get us going and affecting our community and this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we've said that we want to plant between 7 and 10 churches in this area. That's why we do Salt International. We want that one to be a big service. Salt International could be like this in a couple of years from now, if we just do our thing. And we're out there in north of the bridge in Uhodlan. And we're going to start in Saltus, you know, acrobatics. It's going to be great. And we're going to do some more stuff. But the thing is that we believe in getting involved. But I can do a lot, and Sigurd can do a lot, and some of us, the few of us, we can do a lot. But that's not what we believe. We believe in mobilization of all God's people. Yeah, right. That's why I'm talking about this. I'm talking about you are empowered for involvement. Third, the Samaritans, the people that we don't get along with that well. I'm so proud of the people that work with the immigrants. You know, we help them with language school and stuff like that. That's very good. And I'm so happy for people doing different outreach, but it's not good enough. Because in Norway, we say that people like hanging out with people like themselves. That's a shame, isn't it? Yeah. Let me say that again. People like hanging out with people like themselves. That's a natural thing. But a kingdom thing is hanging out with people that are not like ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. And I know that this church will not look like heaven in the beginning, but after a while, when we have 100 different nationalities and it smells from brown cheese to hot curry in the service, that's when we're more like the kingdom of God, you know? Because the kingdom of God is about this wonderful blend of people that takes off the glasses of this world. Well, I'm richer than you. I'm nicer than you. My culture is better than you. When all of those things have to go and we just unite ourselves in what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's the kingdom of God. That's why we are so very keen on you understanding that the right thing to do is get involved outside of your comfort zone. Take the risk, but do it with the power of God. And then lastly, the ends of the earth. I love the ends of the earth. Our missions work should not be named local. It should be named Salt of the Earth. We'll do that later, but because it will sound a little bit... We're a lot more humble than that, you know? We're really humble. And just read my blog. It's humble.com. And I post stuff there all the time and pictures. So the ends of the earth. Pastor Gladwin, that you guys are going to meet now in 9 days, he said to me, the problem, Pastor, is this. The work is growing too fast. And we have problem with some of the pioneers at night because they are so tired in their legs. Oh, please talk more about this. What is the problem? And he says to me, see, pastor, you know, when the seven leaders that I have on the blocks now, when they go in the morning to ride their bike out to the furthest village, they only get to meet one village every day because they can't bike home in the dark because someone will stop and beat them. So they will have to take their bike for hours, go out there, do follow-up with the church out there that just started, and then bike back home. He said, if we could only have motorbikes to give to the block leaders, then they could go further out quicker. See the speed of what this church has helped do in Bihar over the last 5 years is now down to the speed of a Honda Hero. I'm not kidding. This church is the turbocharger of the ends of the earth work in Bihar, India. There is a direct correlation between what we do and what they get to bring the gospel further. And that's our exact point. You can't choose, no, I just like Jerusalem. I don't like, you know. You can't do that. And you can't say, well, I just like Norway, you know. I just like Kingdom of God in Norway. That's important to me. I just like strange people. You can't say that either, you know. And you can't just say, I just like Congo or in Uganda. It's only that for me. No. It's not an option. These four places are places of involvement that you are called by God to be involved in. And for some of you, 6,500 Norwegian kroners is really no trouble. So, because I don't have the money in the budget, and I'm not allowed to say this, but I need seven of these things, seven of these suckers, to get them out there so that we can speed the kingdom of God at the ends of the earth. See, we are a part of something at the ends of the earth. We are part of this big challenge in Norway of a multi-ethnic, socioeconomic shelves and levels in Norway. We can be the kingdom of God that involves ourselves. We can be the involved people. So when they write in the newspaper, when someone beat up someone in the elevator, then you know, we won't beat people up, you know? A police officer told me that today. That campaign got to a guy last night when he was patrolling, so he beat the guy up. So that's not what I'm saying. Don't beat up people. I'm just saying, get involved. By his power. You know, four places. My responsibility. How do I want to do it? Listen, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you can risk to get involved. Should we stand up together? Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we thank you. Just if we all keep it quiet just for a few minutes, and then I'll roll off there. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the scriptures that are clear to us. And we thank you that your spirit is cooperating with the word so that we can sense in our spirits, in our hearts, and in our minds right now that this is meaningful. And I pray that's meaningful for us. Right now, I pray that there is no person in this room that count themselves outside of this great mission that you have called us to accomplish. In the same way that you said to the young guy that knew the law, you said, go you and do like he did. You said to all of us, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. You are a sending God. And dear Lord, we are receiving the call to be sent. Dear Lord, we are Christian people in a nation that struggle with involvement. But we serve a God that got involved 2,000 years ago by sending his son into this world. Dear Lord, we ask that love will be the driving force within our hearts. We pray that spirit of involvement will be the spirit that governs our decisions and our values in our lives. I pray that we will be a church that's known for involvement. Involvement in the conflict at work so that we can bring peace. Involvement in the conflict in the neighborhood so that we can bring peace. Involvement in big problems of society, of bullying and of hatred and of violence, and bring peace. I pray that you will make us a church that get involved in the fight against human trafficking so that human trafficking will end in our generation. We ask that your spirit will come upon us so that we will dare to involve ourselves in the classical mission of planting new churches, bringing the gospel to unreached people groups and places, and that we will carry that mission. I pray for every single engineer, every single psychologist, every single carpenter and plumber, every single nurse, every single teacher, every single person in this room that carries a civil job in this part of the world, that you will make our hearts large enough to receive the calling of involvement in all of these four places. Make us an involved generation, we pray in Jesus' name. If you are here and you sense that, Holy Spirit, I need your power, because I understand that this is the involvement that you're calling for, just raise your hand right now. I pray that the Spirit of God will come upon you. That the rush of the Spirit will come upon you and strengthen you. This is not about feelings. It's about surrender. This is not about hype. It's about acceptance of the Spirit of God. I see hands, but I'm going to ask you one more time. If you want to get involved, then please raise your hand and get the empowerment for that involvement, so that you don't come back in a couple of years and you say, I couldn't do it. My voice became quiet. I can't testify anymore, because it's not about you. It's about His power in you. So Father, we ask right now, you see every single hand that's stretched out. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Do whatever you can. Holy Spirit, you fill up young girls right now that used to be in their youth, in their teenage years, so bold for you, but right now they feel that voice has become so quiet. Just receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you come. You give new dreams and new visions for that man in this congregation that have been looking to your parents and their involvement, and you felt that you couldn't live up to how they have been doing things. But right now the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will get the power to involve yourself with your gifts and with your talents, and you will risk stuff in the name of Jesus. I pray against all timidness. I pray against all false humility. I pray against all academic barriers of cognitive thought patterns that have made your voice and your testimony become quiet over the last couple of years. I break those chains off you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I release the Spirit of God in you so that you can do what He's called you to do. Holy Spirit, empower for involvement in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's sing together.
Takk for at du har lyttet til podcast fra Salt Bergenkirken. Vår visjon å lede mennesker til et nytt og bedre liv gjennom etterfølgelsen av Jesus. Følg gjerne med på hvordan vi realiserer dette, og hvordan du kan delta ved å besøke saltbergen.no.